Good singing this morning. You may be seated. All right. I hope you're ready for preaching. We've had a lot of preaching this week and a blessing to have chapel each and every day. We don't do this all the time. We have chapel each week, but it's only mission conference that we come all together like this, together as a school. And that's why, because we think missions is important to God. So it should be important to us. All right, Brother Noah Gudger, you come, my brother. Let's all show him our Bibles, that we got our Bibles and we're ready for preaching. Amen. Let's everybody say, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Now, if you do that during the sermon, this brother will lose his mind because he's from Georgia. And saying amen to somebody from Georgia is like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. Amen. All right, come preach to us, brother.
Amen. Yeah, you do that around Georgia, they're liable to jump the pews and take a lap, and I'm not going to jump no pews or take no laps, I tell you that much. And praise the Lord for another opportunity to be here. And once again, thank you, preacher. Thank you, church, for the wonderful week so far. And I've had a wonderful time. And praise the Lord that we get to be a part of the mission of God. And thank the Lord that we get a little part in it. But take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 9. And verse number 35 is where we'll begin our reading at. Very familiar passage of Scripture if you've read your Bible for any length of time. And one of my favorite portions of Scripture is Matthew chapter number 9. And verse number 35 through 38 is where we'll be reading at this morning. And how many of y'all are alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic? All right, now. We used to do that at youth camp, and there was not a whole lot of kids that was, barely alive, more or less awake and enthusiastic and all that. So, but Matthew chapter number 9, and verse number 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come to you in prayer. Lord, I stand in need. Lord, I pray that you please, Lord, do what only you can do. I pray that you please, Lord, move in the heart and lives of your people. God, I pray that you, Lord, just please, God, let us leave changed and challenged, not because of me, but because of your word. And Lord, we love you. God, thank you for Calvary. God, thank you, Lord, for letting us be a part of the mission of God. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for who you are and for what you've done. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. But the title of the mission, the title of the message tonight, or this morning, is The Master and His Mission. Now, the master has a mission that he longs to see accomplished. And you say, what is that mission? It is to see people come to Christ, to come to himself, and to be saved. He longs to save sinners. And I'm glad this morning that he still longs to save sinners. He did not come to save just a few and leave the rest of them out. No, he came to save whosoever. And I'm glad I was part of that whosoever. If you're here and you're saved, you're part of that whosoever. And the people of Haines City is part of that whosoever. The world's part of that whosoever. And he longs to save sinners. And so tonight, I don't know why I keep saying tonight, but this morning, I want to give you three points in the introduction. We'll get right into the message. But to see the Great Commission accomplished, we must have three things. We must, first off, we must have Christ. It's his job. It's all of his. Now, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but if you look in verse number 38, you look at the last two words of verse number 38. It says, his harvest. It's all his. We just get to work in it. I get to have a little bit of part in his job. It's his field. Now, you think about it. When the Lord saved you, he saved you with his grace. He saved you with his salvation. And when he calls you into his service, he equips you to do his job, to go to his field. And one day, he's going to reward you like you did it all. When really, all we did was just go. All we did was just did everything with his power. And that's how it's going to get accomplished, if we have to do it through Christ. We can do nothing without Christ. John chapter 15, verse number 5, it says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." You can't do some things. You can try to do it your way, and it may work out. No, it says you can do nothing. And we need Christ, and we also need co-laborers. I cannot do this by myself. We're not Superman. We got to have each other. We got to be able to. That's what the beautiful thing about missions. That's why we partner with each other. And we get to do this thing together. And so we not only need Christ, we need co-laborers, and we need compassion. And I'll say more about that in just a minute. But look at verse number 35. We'll jump right on into the message. In verse number 35, we see, first off, we see the preacher in missions. The preacher in missions. We see, look at the first two words in verse number 35. It says, and Jesus. Now, I'm glad the Lord did not tell us to do something that he did not do himself. He showed us a pattern. He showed us a way on how to do it. Now, I know, once again, it may get tough, and you may say, well, man, there's 8 billion people on planet Earth, and, man, I'm supposed to go reach everybody. I'm commanded to go preach the gospel to everybody. And, oh, man, it just seems a little bit too much. Hey, I'm glad that we've got Jesus that can help us. It's all his. Once again, the preacher in missions. And we see, secondly, we see the place in missions. Look at verse number 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, there is a place in missions. You say, I just don't know what my place is. Right now, your place is to be in school in Haines City at Lamhorn. That's your place for missions. Now, and my place is New Hampshire. When God, when you get to that point, God will reveal the place to, he may want you to stay here and serve in the local church. Hey, that is much needed. We need that. And but there is a place in missions. I know several people who just wander around different churches, never settle in, never find their place. Folks, that's not God's will. God wants you to have a place in missions. And it may not be across the seas, it may not be across the states, but it may be here. Folks, just dig in. And I often, man, growing up, our life was built around church. I mean, if somebody was having a family reunion or whatever, we would not make it on Sunday. We'd be in church. It doesn't matter what was going on. My pastor, every time the doors was open, I was going to be there. I didn't have an option. I didn't have a choice. And I praise the Lord for it. But, I mean, it didn't matter what was going on. My pastor could have said, we're going to have a watching grass grow service, and I was going to be there. I mean, every time the doors was open, I was there. And ask God, where is your place in missions? And when he reveals it to you, dig in. Just jump right on in. I mean, don't hold back anything. And so we see the preacher, we see the place, but look at this, we see the passion in missions. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. It does not say he was moved with anger, he was moved with frustration, but he was moved with compassion. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some times in life when my compassion is not what it should be. And if you're here and you said, man, my compassion for people has always been where it should be, well, first off, you got a problem with lying. And second off, I highly doubt that. And I used to work back before Bible college. I used to work at Walmart. And that attests to your compassion on people for sure. If you've ever worked in retail and dealing with people, I work back in the electronics section. And when somebody yells at you about their phone's not working when they haven't held the button down long enough to turn it on, I tell you, your compassion runs a little low for people. Then you wear the vest, and this is the number one question I got. I wore the vest, stood behind the counter, but probably about 10 times a day, I got asked, do you work here? I mean, after you hear that about 10 times, you're like, oh, no, I don't work here. I don't have enough time. So I'm going to try to just impersonate a Walmart associate. And so I'm just standing back here, but I don't work here. And so your compassion for people may run low at times, but you better pray to God that he give you the compassion of Christ. Christ had compassion on people. It didn't matter what kind of people they were. When society, you read the woman at the well, both of her, she was Samaritan, both of her races did not want her to the people. They didn't want her, but Christ longed to save her, Christ longed to have her. And the maniac of Gadara, nobody wanted him. They threw him in the cave. What do? They probably went back and just lived their life like nothing ever happened. But that maniac needed a miracle. That maniac needed somebody. And Christ longed to have them. So, folks, we got to have compassion on people that Christ had. Jude chapter number 1, some having compassion, making a difference. You know how you're going to make a difference? If you have compassion. That's one thing, folks, we have got to have. Ask God to give you the compassion of Christ. Ask him to let you see the world how he sees it. That person that you passed today, or you're at a gas station and you see them, and everybody's going to stand before God one day. And folks, if you don't look at them with compassion, that man, one day they're going to spend eternity somewhere. Folks, you're going to have to once again dig in and pray that the Lord will give you the compassion. He'll give you the place. And we see, fourthly, look at verse number 37. We see there's a problem in missions. And you're like, there's no problem in missions. Now, not on God's part, but there's a problem with our part. Look at verse number 37. It says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labor is few." I still believe today that God is calling, but I believe we have taken our spiritual hearing aids and turned them all the way down because we are comfortable. Folks, while we are comfortable, people are dying and going to hell by the dozen. Yeah, God may call you to a place that just that don't look too beautiful. I mean, God may call you to a place that is not probably that safe. But folks, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You see, but I'm waiting for the harvest it's now. It's now. This isn't, once again, verse number 37, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous." I promise you, you're not going to, you see missionaries going to the same country and to the same field. I promise you, there's enough to go around. And, in Peterborough, New Hampshire, there's about 8,500 people, and most of the churches up there in their towns, that Brother Chamberlain can probably testify to it, they're not running 20,000 people. I mean, they're not reaching the whole town, but they're not running the whole town. I mean, we could have multiple churches. Folks, you can look around. There's places that need churches. And folks, you're going to have to get serious about it. And you're going to have to say, "Lord, help me, God, it may cause me to get uncomfortable." You know, I was comfortable in North Carolina. Had my family, had a home church over there. I was comfortable. But God had to pull me out of that to show me the need. And so, folks, it may take you getting a little uncomfortable. And so we see that the problem in missions. But there's people in missions. And see, all of this is about people. Folks, I heard one preacher saying that the statement shocked me. He said, "Man, ministry would be great without people. It wouldn't be ministry without people. You got to love people. Love them where they're at. People are longing for peace." Well, I've said it once. People are longing for peace. People are longing for hope. In a world filled with nothing but bad news, people are longing for something to satisfy them. So there's people in missions. But here's lastly, in verse number 38, we see the prayer in missions. "I'm all for going. I'm all for giving. But if you do those two things and you miss this third thing, then you're missing it." And you says, and some of the churches that I'm in, there's some elderly people there, and they're like, "Well, I'm not able to go. I'm not able to do a whole lot." I said, "But you can pray. You can pray." I believe the reason why our nation is in a mess is because, and our world's in a mess, is because our prayer closets have cobwebs on them. We don't ever go back and pray. Folks, prayer is so important. You may, and your family members may be so hard to reach that every time you talk to them, they may just cut you off. But I tell you, if you pray for them, the Holy Ghost goes with them, deals with them. But you're going to have to pray. If we don't ever pray, and once again, I said it Tuesday night, if we just sit around and wait till, the Lord's going to come back, you know, the world's the way it is, you know, I'm just going to, you know, wait till the Lord comes back. Folks, that's not an option. We got to pray. We got to get involved. Are we just going to continue to let it just go a wicked way? And I understand that, you know, the when the Lord comes back, it's going to be an ungodly day. But folks, we can still live godly. We can still pray. You know, they don't have to die and go to hell. They don't have to. But if we go and we give, which we're all for, but if you don't pray, the Lord says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Many a times, and I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to take a map and pray over the map. Take these countries, pray over them. Anytime you pray for laborers, can I be honest with you? You're probably the one to go. And when I was in New Hampshire, I said, I'll pray for somebody to come to New Hampshire. It's probably not me. You know when I prayed it? It was me. And so when you get to praying for a country, God may deal with you by going. Who knows? I mean, take these flags and just say, Lord, help me to pray for America. Help me to pray for Guatemala and Russia and Japan. And you just take a world map and pray. Because once again, folks, take a map of the United States. Pray for different states that need more churches, that need more laborers. New England needs more laborers. But I can't send them. I can't just go and grab you and send you up to New Hampshire. It says, pray therefore, Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He does to send them. But you're going to have to pray. And you're going to have to say, Lord, please help me to find my place. Please help me to be able to talk to people about missions. Please help me to be able to pray for our nation. Hey, I understand that our leaders and our president is ungodly, and majority of you probably didn't vote for him. But we're commanded to still pray for him. You know, at the end of that, he's still got a soul. Still got a soul. Our vice president, she's still got a soul. That one day we'll stand before God. You say, well, they're just too far. I don't believe it's too far gone. You're going to have to pray. How desperate are you? How determined are you? Your prayer life matters. If you don't have a prayer life, get on the altar and say, Lord, I confess that I don't have a prayer life. And start. If you don't read your Bible, start. Just start. And we see the prayer and missions. But we see Christ's field should be the church's focus. What Christ left us with was a job. And the church should be able to focus on Christ's field. The gospel is the good news. But it's not good news if it doesn't get there on time. You can't go to the graveyard and witness to them. Now, they may be able to go to the graveyard and try to cast votes, but you can't witness to them. You're not able to witness to them. It's too far gone. They're done. But folks, we must be able to get determined and say, Lord, I know that maybe you're here and you have not necessarily wandered off into the world, but you're sitting here and you say, I don't know my place. I ask you, huh? You're going to have to get determined. And don't be scared when he shows you your place. Maybe it's across the world. Maybe it's here. I have no idea. I don't know what God's will is for your life. I have no idea. For me, when I said, Lord, where's my place in missions? It's New Hampshire. And folks, be ready for what he shows you. And so if I'd ask you this morning, how's your prayer life? You praying for lost people? You got a list of lost people on your prayer list? You praying for Haines City? You praying for your church? Praying for your pastor? How's your prayer life? How's your daily Bible reading? Folks, it matters. You're going to have to get serious about it. You say, but I'm so young. It doesn't matter. Build a relationship with the Lord while you're young. Build habits. Build good habits to read and to pray. Because, folks, we need it. We need it. It's not going to get any better. So, and once again, I say, we're not able to reach your family. That's you. Pray for them. Maybe you're here and you got lost. Everybody's, I've got lost loved ones. Maybe you're here and they're hard to talk to. But you just pray for them. Pray for them every single day, constantly. You know Jones and Sam, the one I told you about Tuesday night? Can I ask you, if you don't pray for anybody else, can you pray for them? They need salvation. Bad. They're in a mess. They're in a mess. And they're blinded by religion. Would you pray for them? Would you pray for your lost loved ones? Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come to you in prayer. Lord, thank you for everything that you've done. Everything that you're going to do. God, we thank you for Calvary. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here at this precious church to preach to these precious people. Lord, I pray that you please, Lord, do what only you can do. Lord, we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Let's stand to our feet.